Hey everybody, welcome to Karma is a Pod. Welcome back to Karma is a Pod. How's everybody doing? I'm Zach.
I'm Annie.
And I'm Ramal.
Yeah.
Back after our longest break yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
A big hiatus.
We were back last time for a emergency episode.
Emergency podcast.
Red alerts from here on out.
Good, that works.
The torture triumvirate convened.
The torture triumvirate came together and greatness ensued.
And, you know, we launched right before Tortured Poets came out, so, you know, most of our coverage thus far has been, you know, there's been plenty to talk about, but now we're kind of just doing a recap of some of the, you know, the latest and greatest in Swiftland and just sort of a miscellaneous hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It should be good. You'll be very entertained.
I'm excited.
We hope.
Yeah.
We hope.
We fervently hope.
So I think Ramal has some stuff to start us with. I know that she's got some stuff on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Floor is yours.
It is really on my mind. Thank you. Because I actually have been thinking about it like every day because basically, as we know, I think I've mentioned before, headed to Liverpool for the Taylor Swift show, Eras Tour show on June 13th. And now it is costume time, which just requires a great deal of deliberation. So originally I was very overly ambitious a little bit in saying that I wanted to do the Out of the Woods costume.
Oh, yes.
Because while that bodysuit is excellent, I was like trying to be realistic with myself of like, even though I think I could technically torture myself long enough to like put on 10,000 rhinestones, maybe I do not have to do that and can like have a more enjoyable costume experience.
I remember you talking mm-hmm. about that because we saw the costume exhibition at the museum in New York, the Museum
mm-hmm.
of Arts and Design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had that bodysuit and you were asking me to send pictures of it.
Yeah, yep.
But
and
yeah,
I've deduced that seems like too gargantuan a task. So currently kind of flipping through a billion different options, but I think what I'm going to do is like go with something 1989 and like sparkly, glittery fringe kind of stuff, just because that's basically the entire era. And I was thinking about the fact that it'll be summer, so potentially it would be a good idea to be like in shorts and a crop top or something, like that kind of costume than like a full bodysuit. But I will keep you guys obviously posted on what that ends up being. But I'm really excited.
We should definitely
and, like,
put up a pic when we do
your
recap episode.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm
definitely
sure we'll be back with
a
full breakdown of that show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's
when is that
great.
Show happening?
June 13th.
June
13th. So really
okay,
soon.
So coming up pretty soon.
Really soon.
Yeah.
Really
cool.
Soon. Yeah. Before we know it.
Very exciting.
On the ground coverage for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah, you better bring your podcast mic. We're going to be doing some live hits.
It wouldn't be the craziest thing that somebody has brought to a show.
That's true.
Given other controversies, we will not address in detail, such as baby on the ground.
That's too controversial for the pod.
Too controversial for the pod, yes.
Yeah.
All right, I know you had some stuff from all about what's going on lately at the Eras Tour regarding secret surprise songs.
I really wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on this because I think a major change that we've seen going into her second leg is just the number of mashups she's been doing, because I feel like when she started out, she was kind of trying to go through her full discography. There was also a lot of guest work. And then she also had that rule about not repeating, which has now been repealed officially by her triumvirate, which I think just consists of like herself. And so now she's kind of able to do whatever she wants. Yeah, like the Taylor Swift triumvirate that consists of like Taylor Swift times three.
I would say the triumvirate is Meredith,
you're right.
Olivia, and Benjamin.
Yeah, actually, you're so right. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
It is them. And so on the second leg, she's been doing way more mashups. Like, honestly, probably like every date, I think, or something like that, she's done at least one. And they've gotten even crazier where she's not even doing just two songs. She's doing three. So I was kind of curious, like, first, Annie, I did want to hear your thoughts on this because I know how much you love Treacherous. Like, what you thought about Alchemy combined with Treacherous, because I personally never thought of those two songs together.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I mean, I thought that it was definitely highly probable that she was going to do the Alchemy because it was mm-hmm. show 87. Mm-hmm. You know, I think obviously Travis was there. As soon as it was clear that he was there, I think it was clear that that was going to be one of the songs, but I didn't expect mm-hmm. it to be in a mashup form. And I think I was really happy to see it mixed up with Treacherous, even though I wouldn't expect it just based on the musical content of those songs, but I think because Treacherous is one of my all-time favorite tracks and definitely favorite tracks on Red as well, I think it's honestly one of her most underrated sort of like early falling in love songs, but I think because it's associated with, at least it's presumed to be associated with one of her relationships that, you know, was for the muse for more songs like Would Have, Could Have, Should Have and Dear John than it was for songs like Treacherous, you know, I think it was honestly kind of nice for me to see it be reclaimed in the use of sort of like a happy context. And I think it makes me feel like she does sort of view that song nostalgically and is sort of reclaiming it in the context of the new relationship and the alchemy. And I think that made me happy to see that she doesn't sort of, you know, kind of swear off that song and still has a soft spot for it.
Right, right. Great. I'm kind of curious too, for, and this is for both of you guys, so either can answer or both. So for example, like she did that Max Martin medley, and then she also did, oh, so the Max Martin medley was like Message in a Bottle, How You Get the Girl, and then New Romantics. And then she's also done Alchemy
that was
and
in
Treacherous.
Stockholm, right?
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah, the
this
Max Martin
huge.
Medley. Yeah, that's actually,
she
wow, I didn't,
I saw that.
I didn't
oh,
even
she
realize.
Did. Okay.
Yeah,
that.
She did. She called it the Max Martin medley. But she's also done stuff like Begin Again in Paris, which sort of seems sort of connected, I guess, by the Begin Again music video was in Paris. And it's also like geographically connected. So I was curious if you guys think with her mashups, whether she chooses them based on how musically well they go together or thematically. Like if you think she's even doing that at all, like when she's trying to put two things together, if she's thinking about solely the musical way that they can kind of combine in terms of melody, or if there's a deeper meaning that you can dive into. Okay.
It's both. I mean, you know, the I would say that Taylor Swift songs have a lot of potential for mashing up just because a lot of them have similar chord structures. A lot of them have similar, you know, song structure in terms of chorus, verse. So I don't, and I think in some of her bridges in the past have kind of been interchangeable in some ways. Not saying, you know, all the songs sound the same, but saying that she can take a
they
bridge,
fit well,
they
into,
fit
the
well
songs.
Into the other one. There's similarities between Love Story and You Belong With Me. She's mashed those two songs up on multiple occasions. So I think a lot of it has to do with sound. I don't really think you can mash up a song with a song that doesn't at least have some potential to be sonically cohesive.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But of course, it's Taylor Swift. She also cares very much about the lyrics and the lyrics.
Yeah.
Content.
Yeah, I would say in the context of the Max Martin one, obviously there's a joining theme there, but I think also because, you know, they're from the same co-writer, they're just bound to to be more similar musically as well, you know, but I think...
Yeah. Good point.
And, you know, obviously I'm obsessed with the Treacherous and the Alchemy mashup and what that means, and I think... Because those songs don't strike me as the most musically similar, I read it as being more of a lyrical thing about, you know, being the early stages of falling in love. Rather than a musical thing. But I think she takes both into consideration.
Always
guess,
taking both into consideration, but also seeking fan engagement as well. And songs, and speculation and songs that will get people talking.
Yeah,
so I think that that's all those things are just are important.
I had one more thing.
Oh yeah,
I was just gonna say this is an activity where I get to be the teacher because I'm just assigning you two things.
Okay, sure.
So basically, I will ramble for 30 seconds so you guys have time to think. But Annie, I want to hear what you think the craziest possible but still feasible mashup could be that she could do, like the weirdest, like oh my god, I can't believe she did that. And then Zach, for you, what your favorite mashup would be, like what you really, really, really want her to do. And it can be the two or three
the
songs.
Okay,
so
fine.
I'll give you like the 30 seconds to think about it while
I have my answer.
Annie has her answer already.
Annie has her answer, so let's just go to that. Let's start with Annie.
I think that my number one most shocking mashup, and I can't see it possibly happening given that one of the songs is on the main set list.
Okay.
But if she mashed up Lover with You're Losing Me, I would lose my mind.
Ooh.
I would
so would the entire
lose
fandom.
My mind. Or
yeah.
you could swap out Lover with Invisible String. If she brought back Invisible String and matched it with You're Losing Me, I would, or So Long London. Either one.
Oh god.
I would be agog.
I have a great answer. I have a killer of an answer.
Okay. Alright.
She should match up Stay
okay.
with Paper Rings.
Ooh, I like that.
That'd be a fun mashup, yeah.
That would be really good. Those songs are so, like, they're not sonically identical, but they're the same, like,
musically,
thematically.
I can hear them mashing up, yeah.
Yeah,
I could also
yeah.
see, and I'll just throw in one more here. I don't think she's done it. I'm kind of surprised that she hasn't done Mine and I Can See You because of that similar intro.
Yeah, that would
be
good,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah,
one
that would be
kind of
awesome.
The other mm-hmm. two.
Yes, that'd be really
What about
cool.
you? Do you have an answer?
Ooh, do I have an answer? Oh god, that's okay. I'm gonna say like the first thing that popped into my head, and it's also just on the set list. Smallest Man Who Ever Lived and I Don't Wanna Live Forever.
Mm. Nice.
I think that would be good.
Cool.
I think that would be good. Yeah.
It's good. All right. Shall we move on to the next topic? I think we should.
Of course.
Yes.
But of course.
Our
yep.
very unrelated but also current events in Swiftlandia topic.
Yeah. Just like everybody else under the sun, there's a new entity trying to capitalize on Swift mania, as always, because nobody can keep away. And of course, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is trying to capitalize on Swift mania.
Of course it is.
Of course it
yes.
is. There's been a lot of speculation about Deadpool and Wolverine, the third Deadpool movie. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds is the star, and he is
a close friend of Taylor, and a big
influence on the MCU.
Yep.
Because he's kind of being put as the one who needs to save the MCU. That's
right.
kind of the plot of the film.
And this
and,
is his first film with Deadpool as an official part of
right.
the MCU.
So when the movie was announced, pretty close after the movie was announced, there was already speculation that there was going to be at least a cameo from Taylor, either as herself or playing some kind of character. I remember Ryan Reynolds filmed a promo for the film. He announced the movie in his house that it was filmed, which is also the house, apparently, that's in All Too Well 10 movie.
Yes. Yes. Short film.
So fans, I think Swifties...
I think it's a bit of a stretch to maybe say him filming the video in his own house is a Swiftie
Easter
egg.
I just saw it. I'm not saying it's an Easter egg. I'm just saying they, you know, he wore the shirt in the second movie
right.
with the cats,
right.
with Taylor's cats.
But then now there's a third cat, so
well,
maybe for Deadpool 3 we're getting a shirt with three cats on it.
Wow.
Instead of just, here it is on Olivia.
Mind
this is why you don't write for Marvel.
Mm. Well, maybe they should hit me up because they have great ideas.
Yeah, Annie has fantastic ideas.
A three cat shirt? Who else could have thought of this?
Brilliant.
Okay. Well, so first of all, I want to get people's thoughts on her appearing in the Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is possible. Initially, I will admit to being really dubious. I think if I had seen it years ago, I would have thought definitely not. I mean, obviously, Taylor's brushes with Deadpool, there have been a few, you know, when she wore the Deadpool costume to that Halloween party years
ago. She wore
ago.
The Deadpool costume,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Deadpool
yep.
costume,
yep.
1999.
Yep. The actual one, yeah.
Yep, and then obviously the shirt in Deadpool too. I think for a long time it seemed like she was sort of edging away from film appearances, but, you know, now she's
right.
been, you know, she was in Amsterdam for a cameo,
right.
and I feel like her really public, close personal connection now to Blake
right.
and Ryan makes
mm-hmm.
it more likely than it would have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts
yeah.
from all?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a chance we could get a cameo for sure, because I don't know how typically long cameos take, despite my extensive on-set experience. but I would say, like, probably not very long, like a day, maybe a couple. And so I think I could totally see her going to set, hanging out with people that are her friends already, like Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, and doing the cameo, like, as part of that. You know, like, she's the busiest woman in the world and insanely productive, and I feel like this fits right into that. Like, she could totally do it. She, if she wanted to, she would do it. And so I think we might be getting a cameo, which will be really cool.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, initially, a lot of the rumors that we were seeing were around her playing the character Dazzler, who is a pop star superhero, and that seems
in
like...
In the X-Men
right,
franchise.
In the X-Men universe, which makes sense why it would be in the Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
Right.
That seems like an obvious casting.
Yeah, let me just say, that does seem like an obvious casting, but I think... If I were to make a prediction, I would predict that she is going to be in the movie in a cameo as herself.
As herself.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
As herself, because Deadpool's very self-referential. He'll make pop culture. He'll make pop culture gags and stuff like that. Mm.
Has she ever made an appearance before as herself? I don't think so.
I don't. Not in the film.
No,
I don't believe so. I think that would be the funniest. But I could also see her playing a character in the... Like, I could also potentially see her playing a Dazzler-like character.
I think...
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I was very surprised to hear this because I would not think that the endgame that Taylor was most invested in was Avengers Endgame.
Amazing.
That's a good one.
I had to cram that in there.
Yeah, to cram that in there.
Yeah.
I will say, like... I think Taylor appearing in movies and stuff has been kind of controversial over the years. And I don't know what her aspirations are as an actor. I don't know. Listen. The music superstars of the past, many of them had film careers.
Lady Gaga as well.
Elvis.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Barbara Streisand.
I mean, Barbara Streisand is an actress as well.
Yeah,
right. She's a Broadway star.
That's true, but you know, eventually made her way into movies. Cher is an actor, you know, like
Cher won an Oscar.
Beyonce has been in movies.
Dream Girls, yeah.
Michael
Most
Jackson has been in
Panther,
movies.
Obviously.
You know, I think, and obviously Taylor has been in movies, but I think like a lot of these pop stars,
right?
Her film efforts have left something to be desired.
Catch our future episode ranking Taylor's movies.
To keep it polite.
Ranking Taylor's movies. That will be an in-depth episode. We're going to watch them all.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good. She's definitely not best known for her acting performances, despite really giving it her all in Valentine's Day. But
I will say I loved her in New Girl. I watched that when that aired.
That's an iconic cameo.
Yes, where she, like, she actually does, like, a speak now moment thing. Like, she does an older piece, and she's like, I'm in love with you. And, yeah, it was just really, it was cute. And I love that she was in that because I felt like it fit so well with, like, her entire discography and the kinds of, like, storylines she likes. One thing I will say, I don't know why this hasn't happened yet, and I really, really hope it does. She's obsessed with Grey's Anatomy and Law & Order SVU, and I would really want to see her on, like, Grey's Anatomy. Like, now it's too late because, like, so many main characters are off the show. But that would have been really good. I mean, her cat's names are Meredith Grey and Olivia Benson. I would live for that.
Well, this Marvel thing goes even deeper. Now,
it does.
Because apparently Taylor had a meeting.
Deeper into the Taylor.
Had a meeting with Kevin Feige. The Marvel guy.
The Marvel guy.
Mr.
Yes.
Marvel.
Marvel man.
I feel like this has confirmed for us that at least...
There is some sort of involvement.
I think that my theory, there's some sort of involvement. The rumors right now are that she's being considered to lead a full TV show, like a 1950s set show about the character Blonde Phantom. I mean, she already has played a blonde phantom, such as when she was never seen for 2 years.
Right.
She was the Blonde Phantom. I mean, it's a natural fit. But I will say, it also kind of interests me. I think she would be interested in playing a character in a 1950s set storyline. Because, also, as she said in the NYU, I think it was the NYU commencement speech.
Yeah.
There was an entire year in 2012 where she dressed like it was the 1950s.
Yeah,
listen,
she does like
referencing. Taylor might be somewhat impressionable. And I think if you give her the right tools and you give her the right pitch, she might be interested.
Yeah,
I can't put it past her.
I think it has to be.
She's
on top of the world. She's only.
Right.
She doesn't need. She doesn't need the money. She doesn't need the credit. Right. She's only going to do it if she's really interested in the project.
Well,
right.
And I think we should wrap up in just a minute. But I'm curious if Ramal has any thoughts on. I'll put it in a way that Marvel is obviously trying to stay relevant. And
mm-hmm.
are they trying? Do you think they're trying?
If,
do you think they're trying
they
to use
her,
Taylor's image?
If they get her, they will get viewers. There's no question about that.
What do you think
right.
about that, Ramal?
Yeah. I would say, I think undoubtedly that's definitely part of the equation, like for sure, in terms of like whatever she would do would be like a major hit just by virtue of like her, the dedication of her fan base, and like they'll follow her anywhere. And like we would all, of course, tune in if she was on anything. But I will say, yes, we will cover it. I will just say that I do maintain a little bit of a reservation around her doing a TV show, just because I'm like, that's such a more like long-term dedicated plan. So I'd be curious to see if she, like, if she creates space for that in her schedule and kind of does, like, an Ariana Grande thing where she, like,
mm-hmm.
films and then takes a break. Or, like, rather, I guess, like, makes a break in her discography and then...
I mean, obviously, a big question is when she would have time to do this. And it is surprising given that we know that the deal already exists for her to write and direct her own movie.
Yes.
Which,
and I think
yes.
given that she's become so...
Right.
you know, the center of, you know, creatively directing
mm-hmm.
her career.
Right.
I would be surprised to see her do a project in which she was not, you know, the lead creative on it.
Right,
that's true.
Right. Yeah.
But I my theory right now is that she's making a cameo as a character, whether it's Dazzler
yes.
or Blonde Phantom.
For sure.
And she's debating whether or not to do a full-on show with
mm-hmm.
the character. That's
mm-hmm.
my theory.
Cool.
But I think she is, my guess is that she's going to appear.
Okay. Do you think she's going to appear, Ramal?
I think either way she is going to appear, whether it's a cameo or something else, for sure. Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, I think that's been our episode today.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We got good stuff on the horizon.
We got good stuff coming. Taylor Mania going crazy. On tour. We're going to be covering the tour soon.
Liverpool stuff.
Yes.
We'll get you the inside scoop, all right?
Inside scoop. The torture triumvirate will return.
Will return. Marvel style. Okay.
All right.
That was crazy.
Bye, guys.